Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Kadavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so now we have, Arjuna has now worked out with the prince, Bhumijaya, that he'll do the fighting, and Bhumijaya will drive the chariot. And so, and you know, the Kurus are watching all this and wondering what's going on. And then Drona says, with all these inauspicious symptoms, there's going to be some problem for us, right? Because why would there be such big systems and they're happening to them if there's only one guy out there fighting? Otherwise, they would be over there and they'd be sitting in the sunshine. So, but him having said this, then Karna naturally then speaks up, why you're saying this? You always support them, you know, I'm better than them. You know, he's not even a 16th part of either one of myself or Duryodhana. Like that, that's the thing, the fools, that's why they're fools. They can't actually see reality. Then we go back to continue the conversation. So he said this, but Duryodhana was smiling. If this is Partha, O Radheya, then my work is done, right? Even if they don't fight, they can just go back to the kingdom and everything. Because his point was, is he had the idea it might be the Pandavas, but no one else was saying anything, and he didn't want to say something and be found out to be a fool. But when the king then said, the Trigartha king said, let's go there and conquer them now while we can and get them on our side, then he thought, one, yes, if they come back in 2 weeks, then we're going to fight. And so we need that. But at the same time, is we can go there and ourselves and check and see if the Pandavas are there. So then his point is, hey, it's already... We have discovered the Pandavas before their final year is complete. Now they will have to return to the forest. If this is anyone else in eunuch's guise, I shall soon lay him flat on the ground with my sharp arrows. If it's Arjuna, then they have to go back to the forest. That's what he's understanding. But if not, then he's dead, right? Because they are the best. Just Arjuna is better, right? I mean, on the planet, they're the best. And then there's Arjuna, right? Arjuna's chariot soon reached the Sami tree. Out of sight of the Kurus, Arjuna said, climb this tree, O prince, and bring down the bundle up there. It holds the weapons I need. Your bow and arrows will not withstand the force of my arms when, worked up with anger, I defeat your enemies. Here are the Pandavas' weapons, including the Gandiva bow, as huge as a palm tree and embellished with gold. It is a celestial bow without blemish and is capable of bearing the heaviest weight. Bhumijaya looked up at the bundle high in the tree. It is heard that a corpse is tied to this tree. How can I, a prince, touch such an unclean thing? In other words, the rumors that they set there and spun around, because they mentioned, because they were there, no one's watching, but there's a few cowherds around. So they go up, they hang in the tree, and they say, our mother died, and it's our tradition, we hang them in a tree and everything, because it's the cremation ground, so we hang them in the tree. And so that rumor would go around, and then everybody would know, okay, there's a corpse hanging in the tree, don't go there at night, right? Do not be afraid, O prince, this is no corpse. They're only weapons wrapped in that bundle. Bring them down at once. I would not make you perform a cursed deed, born as you are of a noble race and heir to the Matsya king. Bhumijaya reluctantly climbed the tree. He cut the bundle loose with his sword and brought it down to the ground, struggling under its huge weight. Arjuna told him to open the bundle, and the prince cut away the deerskin covering. As the weapons were revealed, they shone like the sun. Bhumijaya gasped. The blazing weapons resembled sighing serpents. The prince was awestruck. He reached out to touch them and asked, to what illustrious hero does this bow with its 100 golden embellishments belong? And whose is this one embossed with shining golden elephants? Surely some powerful warrior owns this bow decorated with the effulgent suns. Bhumijaya carefully lifted the brilliant weapons. Arjuna's two inexhaustible quivers lay next to Nakula's and Sahadev's swords, which had hilts worked with gold. Both swords were sheathed in tiger skins. Arjuna explained who owned the weapons. The bow about which you asked first is the Gandiva. Okay. Which one was first? With his 100 golden embellishments, so that's the Gandiva. It is equal to 100,000 other bows and is worshipped even by the celestials. It was first held by Brahma, then by Indra and Soma. Now it has come to Arjuna through Varuna. The bow next to the Gandiva, adorned with 100 golden insects, belongs to Yudhishthira, and the huge bow next to that is Bhima's. The quivers containing winged shafts as sharp as razors belong to Arjuna. Those arrows become inexhaustible in battle. Right, so you just see a certain amount there. But when the battle's on, how many you want to pull out will come out. It'll never get empty. The sword nearby the quivers bearing the emblem of a black bee and carrying the sting of a bee is also Arjuna's. Arjuna described each weapon and its owner to the amazed prince. When he had finished, Bhumijaya said, "These weapons are both beautiful and dreadful, but where are their owners? Where is Arjuna and the noble Yudhishthira? Where indeed are the twins and the mightiest of men, Bhima? We never heard of those heroes who are capable of destroying. We never hear of them," means, you know, they disappeared. "We never hear of those who are capable of destroying all enemies, but who lost their kingdom in a game of dice. Where is Draupadi, the jewel among women, who followed them faithfully to the forest?" Arjuna then revealed to the prince his identity and that of all his brothers. The prince looked at him in astonishment. He had never suspected it, but now it seemed obvious, right? Because if you look at them, why wouldn't it be? But at the time, because of Yamaraj's benediction, no one would know. The mighty Vallabha could well be Bhima, and Kanka always had a certain nobility and bearing that outshowed the other courtiers. Surely he could be Yudhishthira. But the prince still needed to be convinced. He asked Arjuna, "I shall believe your words if you can tell me Arjuna's 10 names, which I have heard before." Arjuna replied, "Because I conquered many countries and collected their wealth, I am called Dhananjaya. I never return from battle without defeating my enemy. Therefore, thus I am called Vijaya. My steeds are white, and so they call me Svetavahana. I was born when the constellation Uttara Falguna was in the ascendant. Therefore, I am Falguni. Because I wear the brilliant diadem given to me by Indra, I am called Kiriti. I am dreadful to behold in battle, and so men call me Bibhatsu." Right, because Bibhatsa Ras means terrible, basically, like that in this context. So he's called Bibhatsu, you know, one who, you know, brings terror to the hearts of all the others. "I am named Savyasachin because I can draw the bow with either hand. Being unstoppable, unapproachable, and irrepressible, I am known as Jishnu. Arjuna is my name because I always perform white deeds of great purity. My father, out of affection for a black complexion boy, called me Krishna. These are my 10 names, O Prince." He didn't just list them off, he explained what each one meant. Bhumijaya fell at Arjuna's feet with his arms outstretched. "By my good luck, I have seen you, O Dhananjaya. Please forgive anything I may have said to you in my ignorance. You are worthy of my worship. My fears are all removed, and I am ready to act as your charioteer. Please order me." Right? Because if he hadn't revealed this and all that, then he would still be afraid. Even driving the chariot, he might stop and get off and run, you know? So you just don't know, or he might just freeze and not be able to. But here, now he'll have the confidence. "And I am ready to act as your charioteer. Please order me. I will fight the Kurus and return your animals, have no doubt," Arjuna said as he strapped on his quivers. "This chariot will be like your citadel with my arms for its ramparts and the Gandiva as its unassailable defenses." In other words, he will not be attacked as a charioteer. "Simply guide this chariot and have no fear." Right, because if he has no fear, he can really think clearly and go where, okay, let's go here, there, this one's attacking, let's move around this way or that way, or let's attack here first, or Arjuna will say. The prince placed the bond of his weapons in the chariot. "With you in the chariot, how can I be afraid? But I am bewildered as to how you have accepted the guise of a eunuch. It seems incredible that one of your powers and prowess could assume such a form. Arjuna smiled. I am observing a vow, both to acquire religious merit and to satisfy another's will. That vow is now complete, O Prince. Right? So he knows it's complete. So Arjuna knows the 1 year is up. Duryodhana thinks, oh, we've caught them. But Arjuna does, because him revealing himself means that, and him going out and fighting, he knows it's the time's up. So that's why he can so confidently fight. The Pandavas had calculated the full term of their exile was completed that day. Thus, Arjuna had revealed his identity to the prince without fear. Now he would fight openly with the Kurus. He looked at the horses yoked to the chariot. Are those horses battle-trained? He asked. These horses are equal to the four horses that draw Krishna's chariot, the prince answered proudly. I myself am a skilled driver, no less skilled than Dharuka or Malati. He always says such big things, right? I will break through the enemy ranks with such speed that the chariot will hardly be visible. Arjuna, and whatever it is, but he's saying that now in his confidence. So then his point is this is who you have. And he's confident he'll do his best. In other words, he's been trained nicely, whether he's Matali or Dharuka, but the point is he's going to do the best job. Arjuna nodded and removed his bangles. He pulled on a pair of iguana skin gloves that covered his forearms. Right, because when you pull the string, it hits here, so you have to have guards. Right? And iguanas, then that's going to be very tough, and it's also very thin, so it's not bulky. Tying back his hair with a piece of white cloth, he sat on the chariot and thought of his celestial weapons. They appeared within his mind and said, "We are here, son of Pandu. We are prepared to do your bidding." Right. So now he has this, you know, the sastra, which is the bow and arrow, and now he's called the astras, and now he's ready. All of you dwell within my memory, Arjuna said with delight. The thought of battle with Duryodhana was filling him with new enthusiasm and energy. 13 years had been a long time to wait. At last he would have a chance to use the weapons he had obtained from the gods. He strung the Gandiva and twanged it, producing a sound of two mountains striking one another. Right? So that's going to be heard by the, you know, it's not that, okay, just right there and like that. No. The earth vibrated, shaking the trees, and fireballs fell from the sky, right? The omens are getting worse. When the Kurus heard the terrific sound, they knew it was surely Arjuna with his Gandiva bow, because who else's bow would make that sound? See, that's the fun thing is these bows are so powerful, you could pull them and let it go, and it would make like that kind of sound. Modern weapons, if you do that, sometimes it's said it's dangerous, it'll break them, it's bad for them. And plus it's also, if you don't know what you're doing, it can hit you and so many funny things. Arjuna took down the lion banner that and meditated on Agni. A celestial banner fell from the sky, adorned with gold and bearing Hanuman's image. After walking around it reverentially, Arjuna hoisted the flag on the chariot's flagstaff. So he put up his own, because he's going out as Arjuna. He may still have, a few of the clothes of, Brihannala. But the point is, it's Arjuna who's going out there, and he's letting them know. He ordered Booming Jaya to drive, and the chariot moved off towards the north in the direction of the Kurus. Arjuna blew his concho with all his strength. It emitted a thunderous sound that made his horses drop to their knees. The prince, stricken with fear, fell over in the chariot. Yeah. Because these are generals in battle, They can fight with the celestials. So their prowess, their power, their weaponry, everything, they're in another league. And Booming Jaya maybe do very well with other than neighboring kingdoms and things like that, and establish his own and maintain his own kingdom very nicely. But these kind of personalities are in another category. Arjuna consoled the prince and told him to take courage. You are a Kshatriya and the son of a great king. Why then do you tremble at this sound, losing control of the horses? Many times you have heard the sounds of battle, of mighty conches and trumpets being blown. Why are you terrified like an ordinary man? The prince got up and took hold of the reins. He brought the horses back to their feet and replied, surely I've heard many conches blown, but never one such as this. Nor have I ever heard a bow sounding like the Gandiva. This celestial banner also fills me with wonder, right? Because Hanuman's there, he also roars. So it's not just a flag, he actually shouts like that. The monkey seems to be alive, about to leap down from the flag. My mind is simply astonished. Arjuna laughed. Stand firm on the chariot and hold the reins tightly, for I will blow my conch again. Right, the first time it gets their attention. Now this will be the battle cry. Arjuna blew his conch and twanged his bow once more. The combined sound filled the four quarters and seemed to rent the mountains. The prince kept his position with difficulty and controlled the terrified steeds. In the distance, Drona heard the terrible sounds Arjuna was making. He turned to Duryodhana. There's no doubt that Savyasachin has come to fight with us. Even more dreadful omens are now visible, right? Because he saw before when he did the first time, then you know, how you say these fireballs, that means meteors are falling from the sky. Meteors are considered bad. In modern, they think, oh, it's very nice, but they're not considered so god bad, so good. Even more dreadful omens are now visible, portending a great calamity for the Kurus. Your army seems cheerless. Right before, they were very, you know, very haughty, as if they are weeping. All of our leading warriors stand motionless, bereft of energy. A pale of gloom seems to hang over our forces. Let us make ready for battle. When Partha appears, you will have cause to repent your actions. So in other words, because the whole point is he's also thinking, oh, we found them and everything. But even let's say he has found them, but Partha's coming out for battle. Will any of them be left alive to go back? So even if they did find them, if they're all dead, what does it matter? So he's pointing out, you know, in any case, you're saying all these things and boasting all these things, and Karna is saying all these things, but when he comes to battle, they've never fought him, then you will, you know, be worried about this thing. Duryodhana scowled. He went over to Bhishma and said, "Oh, grandfather, it seems we have found the Pandavas before their exile is complete. The condition was that they should return to exile if found in their final year. If this is indeed Bibhatsu, then they will have to spend another 12 years in the forest. You should carefully calculate the time of Bhishma so that there is no doubt." You know, he's trying to get that, but the point is that they've come and taken the cows, and he's defending the kingdom. So they'll have to fight anyway. Even if they say you have to go to the forest, he has to defend the cows. Duryodhana looked around. In the distance, he saw the dust rising from Arjuna's chariot. The Kaurava held his bow firmly. "Whoever is coming towards us, be it Arjuna or the Matsya king, we will have to fight today. Why, then, are our leading men sitting panic-stricken on their chariots? We are many, and here comes but a single warrior." Yeah, but they know who that single warrior is. "Our preceptors' talk of omens and calamities is unbecoming," right? It means even if they're there, you don't mention them because the men get worried. But he's pointing out, they're pointing out that this is Arjuna, it's not just any other battle. If it was just the Matsya king and all that, his army, and then they have these, okay, you go ahead and fight anyway. "Our agreement with Susharma was that he would support us in the battle against Virata. But remember, Susharma has been defeated on the other side." So they've come with their big army, and they're expecting Susharma with the Trigartas to come, because Virat's, you know, with Kichika dead, then it should have gone. But he hasn't calculated that, you know, Bhima and the twins have gone out there with Yudhishthira, and they've already defeated them. So there is no army on the other side. One, there's probably very little left of it, and whatever is left, it's not going anywhere, right? You know, it's just staying on that side. "Oh, Bhishma, arrange our troops for battle. I fear that Drona is overpowered by his affection for the enemy. How can he guide or protect us in our hour of danger?" Right? Everything he speaks is like a knife to the heart. The guy is such a demon. He can't say anything nice. He can't praise anybody unless it's something he's going to get. But here, if they say that Arjuna is a formal fighter, be careful. Oh, he just cares for him. He can't do anything, you know, so someone else. They have no intelligence to see. But that's the whole point. That's the demoniac mentality. They don't really see the proper in the proper way. Karna had come up alongside Duryodhana. He spoke loudly so that all the leading Kurus could hear him. "It seems you have all become fearful simply upon seeing Arjuna. Do you not know that Arjuna is no match for me? After spending a long time in the forest, he will be weak in battle, right? Because, but what they forget, what they don't know is they were training every day, you know. And he says he'll be weak in battle. That, you know, what about him defeating the 60,000 Nivedakavachas? You know, what about all these other things? So they just ignore that. Like a qualified Brahmin receiving charity, he will soon quietly receive thousands of my arrows. By killing Arjuna, I will repay my debt to Duryodhana. Today I will extinguish the Pandava fire, which is kindled by the fuel of weapons and which consumes all enemies. My unfailing shafts will pierce Partha like serpents entering an anthill. You will see him lying on the ground like a hill covered with golden karnika flowers. With powerful javelins, I will bring down the screaming monkey from his banner and shatter his chariot to pieces. There's a good chance if he tried to get the screaming monkey on his banner, the monkey would jump down and make some trouble for him. All of you may fight alongside me, or if you like, go away with the cows. I can face Arjuna alone. Right? So Karna has to make his speeches like that, you know, because this adds to the drama and adds to the flavor. So they have to say something, you know, like that. So Karna said his bit. And so a few others will say something, and then after that, then, you know, they'll start the preliminaries. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.